Hey, I'm Dean Blandino, and as a newly minted Detroit Lions fan, I always listen to Chris and Case on the Detroit Lions podcast.
Lions with it, second and goal from the 8, down 6, but on the move. Chris, working from the gun, looks out to the right, now checks out that Viking defense. Takes the snap, back to pass, looks right, got Case in the end zone, touchdown, Detroit Lions! That's it, pack the bag, start the plane, this game is over! How big is that? And now it's time to start the Detroit Lions podcast.
Lions fans, it's time for the podcast you've been waiting for. The show where Kool-Aid runs blue, faces turn red, and rose-colored glasses never go out of style. This is the Detroit Lions podcast. Your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection. And now, two guys who run a 4 minute 40, Chris and Case.
Hey, howdy ho, Lions fans. Welcome to the Detroit Lions podcast. This is episode 155. This is the official Detroit Lions podcast for Reddit, and I am your dashing host, Chris. With me is my good friend and co-host, The Riz. How are you doing, my man?
It is great to be with you, Chris. There's sadly no Case today, but I will try and fill his shoes and his pants.
Filling the pants is easy because there are none. Today's show, we're going to do a quick scan of the Reddit. Got a couple things popping up there that were essentially very interesting. We also have our first ever mailbag. The Riz took it out there and took it to Twitter, and we got a bunch of really good questions for you. So we're going to run through those. And we got a whole lot more, a lot of stuff going on this week. You ready to go, Riz?
I am. Hey, how do you keep 10,000 idiots in suspense?
Let's kick this off and break it down.
All right, a couple of quick announcements. First, make sure to check us out and help us out on the Patreon. Special thanks to Dylan from
Guam!
Woo, that's a good one. Of course, our very first donor, Mathis, and Brian B. from I Prevail. Great big donors. We appreciate what you guys are doing and everybody else. All the Patreon donors, we really love you guys and gals. Thank you so much for supporting the show. If you would like to join those folks and join the Patreon crew, head to patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast or go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com and click on that Patreon link. You can share as little as a dollar a month or as much as you want beyond that. And we'll get you access to some of the insider stuff that we put out there. We got some new things we're going to be trying out here in the next couple months before the training camp hits. So check it out, patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast, and start that donation at a dollar a month and help support the great podcast you love so much. Make sure to give us a like on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast, and check us out on the Twitter machine at DET Lions Podcast. That's DET Lions Podcast. It's the very best place to see the Riz.
With no pants.
Don't forget to subscribe to us on YouTube, youtube.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. All you folks that have joined the subscription list, thank you so much. A lot more video coming your way, and some really good stuff coming via the YouTube. We got a lot of stuff we're raking on. You guys are gonna love next season, and you're gonna love the run up to next season. We got a lot of really cool things coming for you guys. You're going to love it. So make sure you get there early, and you'll get notified when we're on. Rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever you find us. It's a great way to let folks know what they're getting into. We love those 5-star reviews. We ain't going to beg you. I'm not going to sit here and cry because you're not reviewing, but a lot of you are, and we know the cool kids are. So head on over, do that too. Join the Cool Kids Club and get us rated. Give those 5 stars. Let people know how much you love us. Don't forget to give us a call via Skype, Detroit Lions Podcast. All one word, Detroit Lions Podcast. Or give us a call on the Lions line, 929-33-LIONS. 929-335-4667. Leave a message and get a chance to hear yourself on the show.
Tighten your chin straps, kids. It's time to review This Week in Reddit.
All right, it's time to talk about all the fun and exciting things going down this week in Reddit. And wow, got a couple of, I got to say, pretty interesting things that popped up this week in Reddit. And I want to run them past you. And the first one, I was surprised. I frankly was taken off guard by this one. And I want to run it by you, Riz, and see what you think. This one comes from FunnyPenguin97. If you want something to brighten your day, Stafford is less than 4,000 yards behind Aaron Rodgers in career passing. And I think They only have he's been a quarterback 1 year less in the league than Aaron has, right?
Yes. Matthew Stafford has 125 career starts. Aaron Rodgers, 142. So that's 17 games. If Matthew Stafford can throw for 4,000 yards in 17 games, I think so. I think that's kind of his average.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, that makes a lot of sense. You think of Aaron Rodgers being older. He only took over as the Packers full-time quarterback in 2008. So he really only has that one extra season. Stafford hasn't missed a game in, 7 years?
Yeah, it's been ages.
And Rodgers has missed the equivalent of one full season in the last 4 years with his various collarbone injuries. So there's really not that much difference between them. It's, I think we tend to think of Stafford as being so much younger because he is younger. I think he's 4 years younger calendar-wise.
Yeah.
But football-wise, he's really only a year behind. So
dang, man.
It's kind of cool.
He's just a kid. He's just a kid, I tell you.
I've said this before. It is still entirely possible that Matthew Stafford ends his career as the NFL's all-time passing yardage leader.
Yeah.
And just because of the age that he came in when he was young and the fact that he's thrown so damn many passes and the fact that he's been durable.
Yeah, he's played so darn many games.
I think he is number two right now in terms of consecutive starts. So.
Wow. He's definitely, I mean, he's showed his worth in value in that durability index by a mile, and he's got those big throwing years. And you'll hear people say, well, but he hasn't had a running game and he's had to have he's thrown the ball a lot and garbage time yards and all that kind of stuff. But not having a running game has shortened and cut short a number of opportunities to throw the ball and killed a lot of drives as well. So I don't know. I think that he is just going to be a big time passer. That's who he is as a quarterback. And it just kind of blew me away that he was that close. And I mean, right in there with Aaron Rodgers. And
one thing though, can I pee a little bit on the lemonade or the Kool-Aid, lemonade, whatever.
You can pee some Kool-Aid.
I will. If I can pee Kool-Aid, my kids would be thrilled. Matthew Stafford, 4,850 career attempts. Aaron Rodgers, 4,895. So in 45 more passing attempts, he's thrown for 4,000 more yards.
That's some big yards.
And we say this with all due respect, Aaron Rodgers is really freaking good.
Yeah, yeah. And well, a lot of those have been Hail Marys. I mean, you know what I mean? Let's face it. There's a lot of garbage time yards in there for Rodgers, right? I mean, they just huck it. Okay,
you want a better stat though? Matthew Stafford career fourth quarter comebacks, 32. Mm-hmm. Aaron Rodgers, 17.
Yeah, it's the win column where it matters, right? Oh God, I don't even want to go there because total wins is going to be such an ugly number. Yeah, too.
That's where playing with
it's a team game. It's a team game. Quarterback wins don't count, right?
The best running back you've ever had is Reggie Bush. That's
saying a lot.
That's Stafford's fault.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. All right, next one. This is a good one. This one started stirring some feels since we're talking about Aaron Rodgers. This one came from Javid Sanders 44 in the Reddit. His question, when did you really start hating the Packers? And I was like, wow, there's a lot of option here, a lot of time that I could have started. Now, what about you, Riz? When was it that hit that you really, really, like when the Packers got under your skin?
We talked a little bit about this, before. The Packers, when we were young, especially when I was young, because I'm a little bit younger than you, they were like, nah. I mean, they were always like 6-10 or 8-8. Yeah. There was no real reason to hate them. They were just kind of there. They were sort of wallpaper. the Lions, like the Silver Rush Lions, which is the team that endeared the Lions to me. They always beat the Packers, always. Yep. So it wasn't a big deal until. I don't know. I want to say it was until at least Favre arrived, and probably I can't. You know what? The game, and I watched this game tangentially because I was working at a front desk clerk at a hotel, but it was on like in our lobby. Was the game where we lost in the playoffs when Hansen missed the field goal and then they kicked one. Yeah. And I think the reaction of the Packers fans after that, even, and I lived in Cleveland at the time, and Packers fans, even then, this is pre-internet days, mm-hmm. were obnoxious as hell. And that bugged me. And I think that's probably the flashpoint for me. What about you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I remember. It's funny because I remember the Packers as being a mediocre at best team for a long time. Just kind of like the laughing stock and wondering
the
why.
The Lynn Dickey era.
Yeah. I was wondering why they were even an NFL team. This is before they'd sold stock and were owned by the fans, which is its own kind of stupid. But
they were not a popular team. No. Not anywhere close to the national scope that they have now.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. And I just kept wondering, why does Green Bay, why do they have a team? They're so bad. There is no reason. And, you know, then the expansion talk started and a lot of that. And I mean, the XFL, was it the XFL? Yeah. The XFL, the USFL. Oh God.
USFL, the WLAF, go yeah. Birmingham Flyer.
Yeah. Oh, come on. Michigan Panthers all the way, baby. We're first champions.
That was the USFL, baby.
Yeah. That's what I meant. Not the XFL. The USFL yep. came out USFL. And I was like, man, they should be a USFL team. Right. I mean, they just didn't fit at all. And, they started getting good, and it was really, I mean, for me, the point was Brett Favre came, and I liked Brett Favre. He had this kind of, I just love his style of play, right? Take him away from the Packers and have him play like he did, that real kind of gunslinger, loose, having fun.
That was not what quarterbacks were like in that era.
No.
We were used to the sort of stolid, you know, drop back passer.
Yeah. Yeah.
That Jeff Fisher still covets.
Yeah, exactly. And I liked him at first, but then he was successful, and I was like, this is not, you know, this has started to really, really frustrate me. And I won't forget, I was at a game, and I came across a Packers fan. It was a woman, and she was by herself. And this was as they had started having success, right? And we were still the Lions, doing Lions things. And there was a smugness in this woman, the way, I mean, on came to the Lions turf, came to our house, and it was just this smug, snotty, I hated her. I hated her, right? And, you know, it just cut me the wrong way. I really internalized it, and it just, from then on, I painted the Packers with that kind of hate, and I've noticed it. And I don't know if it's because, you know, confirmation bias or what, but every time I deal, I don't say every time, but so often when I deal with Packers fans now, it's that same kind of smug, self-righteous, cocky, undeserved.
There's a definite,
almighty, man.
There's a definite unctuousness, and they insist upon themselves, to quote Peter Griffin.
Yeah, exactly. That's when it happened for me. So, we're lucky because we got a podcast. We have to use as many words as we want to talk about it. But I'm interested in what you folks are thinking. And there's some good stuff going on in the subreddit. I thought we could do it via Twitter. Pull some of you guys.
There were a few people who put down their actual time of birth, which is kind of cool.
Well, because they were born in an era when the Packers actually had some relevance in the league, right? So it's easy to hate them at that point.
I mean, I guess technically I was born when they were still pretty good. We were both born when they were pretty good, like back in the day. Super Bowl one.
Good point. But it didn't matter then.
No, it did not.
We were still recent champions, right?
Yes.
So, anyway, let's pull it through to Twitter. Let's ask you guys, when did you really start hating the Packers? What was the moment? Tweet at us, the DET Lions podcast, Jeff Risden, and use the hashtag FTP. Let us know when you started hating the Packers. And
What does FTP stand for, Chris?
Oh, fiddlesticks, those Packers.
Oh, my virgin ears.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So God, I feel like we started off with too much Packers talk, but we'll get past it. Everyone can take a shower now. We'll clean up this is why it's lit rated as explicit, because sometimes we get into this kind of talk and it can be really offensive to some people. So bear with, want to talk really quick about the best Lions meme contest we had. We got that $75 gift card coming through. Amazing responses, a ton of great memes that are out there. Case is
y'all are creative as hell, man. Yeah.
With Case being out this week, we didn't want to announce a winner yet. So We're gonna open up for one more week and tell you folks, sorry for if you thought you're gonna get the announcement this week. We're gonna open up for one more week just so we get Case and Riz and me back here, and we'll put this together. We'll pull some winners out. So some of you folks that are procrastinators get a little extra time, put together the best Lions meme you know of, and at Detroit Lions Podcast and at Under Armour with the hashtag Lions Will on Twitter, and send it out there, and we'll retweet you. We'll see what we get out there, and we'll pick a winner. Again, $75 gift card to Under Armour at stake. There's nothing finer than a pair of compression shorts to keep everything where it needs to be. All right.
Wearing some now.
I can't get out of them. let's move on. We got the mailbag here, two words, and we're going to talk a little bit about Riz this morning just pulled one out. I said, hey, we're recording today. Ask some questions. And we wound up with a ton of really, really good questions. So we said, you know what? Let's be some lazy bums. Let's let our listeners write the show for us. No, we actually said, let's give the listeners what they want. I think that's how you market it, right, Riz?
That's how we market it in USA Today Wire World. Yes.
There you go. Give the listeners what they want. So we're going to roll through. Got a lot of great questions here and should be some really good discussion. So I'm going to kick it out first. Mike Holloman asks, based on the offseason moves that Quinn has made thus far, which vets have been put on notice? Riz, where's your head on this?
I think the obvious answer is Amir Abdullah, but there's a couple other ones too. There's I do think that this is a big year for Rick Wagner as the right tackle, because I don't think he played to expectations last year. Mm-hmm. And I think we've seen that with what the hell's his name? Quinn, the GM. I'm blanking. Sorry.
we trade GMs all the time.
That's funny how that works. I think it's quietly a big year for him. Mm-hmm. I think he needs to do well. Anybody who's playing for a new contract, hello, Golden Tate, which I'm sure we have another question about later. Mm-hmm. That's one that needs to be looked at. And if you consider Jake Rudock a veteran, I think he needs to put up and prove that he deserves to be the number two quarterback in town. Mm-hmm. But Amir Abdullah is the obvious answer.
Yeah. No, I really that Rick Wagner piece, that is really interesting to me, because I wouldn't have thought about that, but you nailed it. You're absolutely right. Didn't necessarily play up to expectation. We've really retooled that line, put a lot of talent there. He's a guy that I don't want to say is expendable, but is certainly.
They drafted a guy in Tyrell Crosby who can do that spot. That I think his natural spot in the NFL is right tackle, and he's a lot cheaper.
There you go. And that's a big
not deal. Saying, just saying.
And you've got a guy in Glover Quinn, right, who's playing. I don't want to say he's playing for his contract, but he's playing for when retirement happens, right? And there's going to be a cliff that he falls off of.
And it happens for safeties, and it happens hard. I saw Ed Reed firsthand in Houston when he went there. Nobody wants to talk about that in Houston because it was bad.
Yeah.
And they chose Ed Reed over Glover Quinn, which creates forever perennial gain. One of the best moves that the Lions ever made. Certainly, I think this wasn't asked, but I would put Glover Quinn's acquisition as one of the best free agent decisions that any Lions coach or regime has ever made.
Yeah, no, I won't disagree. And that's why I don't want to give the wrong impression here when I say, Glover Quinn is playing for, and put on notice. That's not what I'm trying to impart at all. But he's a guy that now you have to watch him. He's at that age, right? Especially as a safety, like you said, he's at that retirement age. And when he loses, that step, when he can't perform that Glover Quinn magic, he'd be great as an average safety, right? I mean, you could get a year out of him as an average safety. So that's like when he takes his first step down. And then you really got to start thinking about what's going to happen after that. So not maybe on notice, but certainly someone to watch and see how he does. And I only wish him the very, very best. I
think that's fair. That's a very fair assessment.
Yeah. All right. So let's move on then. this might be a phrase a little negatively, but from Dr. Detroit, if the Lions manage a running game this season, will it mess with Stafford? Could it affect his game? There's a piece in the middle asking, since he's not used to having a running game, could it jack up his game? I'll let you react first, Riz, and then I'll pop in.
It's an interesting theory, because I do think there's something to since we're watching the NBA finals right now, we're familiar with the concept of hero ball. And I think Stafford does hero ball in the NFL better than anybody.
Yeah.
And some of that comes because he knows they can't run the ball. And the running game is taken away from him in those situations. So could it mess with him? Maybe I'll say this. I'd like to find out.
Here's where my head's at. Okay. Couple things. He doesn't, with Matthew Stafford, you don't see him starting to play hero ball on the first possession.
No, that's true.
He doesn't start out that way. He evolves into that position. Now it becomes a natural place for him because he keeps kind of doing it. But the other side of it is he's a professional and he practices as if they have a running game every week, right? They may not play that way, but he practices as if the running game has been established and they have a running game. So I don't think it's going to mess him up that much. He's a professional. He's a great quarterback. He's got a great mind. He's been studying, you know, you got to think of how many kind of new or twists on the offense when you talk about Lombardi, but through the different offensive coordinators he's had, different schemes, different mechanisms and languages and stuff around how they do things. I think it's not going to be a problem. I think it's only going to actually make him better because all of a sudden when you have a running game that takes off some of the quarterback pressure, because it's got to be respected and he'll get a little bit more time in the pocket. And when it is time for hero ball, you're going to see a guy who never fails. Never, ever,
and,
ever.
And it also impacts, he can have the occasional bad day like he did. Was it Minnesota, the second Minnesota game last year that he was bad?
Yeah.
He can get away with that a little bit more. It's not... You know, I hate to keep going back to basketball, but that's what we've been watching the last few days. It's like when LeBron wasn't perfect and George Hill and what the hell's his name? Tristan Thompson, the Kardashian guy. When they actually picked their games up and helped him, and he didn't have to score every point and do everything. And it got the Cavs into the finals, which makes me very happy.
Yeah, absolutely. I got to tell you, people, we alluded to it a little bit earlier. It was in a little funny thing. But you talk about quarterback wins not being a stat. I would say that absolutely not. It's not a stat. But if you were to weight it and kind of evaluate where it would be more of a stat than it would be other places, I'd say with Matthew Stafford, those wins are more off of his back and off out of his arm than they are out of the team in many teams' cases, right? I mean, quarterback wins are probably more of a thing for the Lions than they are any other team.
And certainly, in the case of, I'll use Ben Roethlisberger, because a lot of times he wins and the Steelers win in spite of him playing like crap. Joe Flacco, another great example.
Oh, yeah, great example.
I hate that guy. I hate Joe Flacco.
Yeah, he's another guy. I know you like Kirk Cousins, and the thing about Kirk Cousins is he got paid just because he played the league exactly right.
Flacco did. He's smarter than the GMs.
Flacco peaked at exactly the right time and got his Super Bowl exactly the right time to get paid.
I will never begrudge him for that. I will never get angry at a player for maximizing their contractual opportunities.
But it
sucks when you're a fan of that team and you're stuck. Yep. And they're going to play him over Lamar Jackson for another couple of years. And
yep.
The Ravens are falling, folks.
Yeah. Yep. All right, let's move on to the next question. This is from Kyle McMillan. If Abdullah ends up being the odd man out in the backfield, which it looks as though that may be the case, even with the cost of Theo, are there any potential trade partners for him?
Not right now. That's one of those where you would wait until somebody gets hurt in the preseason, and then that's where they give up maybe a fifth or sixth round pick. And I think that's probably as high as you're going to get for him right now, just based on some of the other trades and moves that have gone on.
Sure.
Right now there's nothing. You're going to have to wait until August, but there's no reason to cut him or deal with anything before then. Anyways, you need all your bodies for preseason. You got to give him a chance to prove that he can make it in the preseason and work in whatever the retooled offense looks like now.
Right.
Maybe he will. But that would be optimal because then you have too much talent. But he's not getting carries over Kerryon Johnson. He's not getting them over LeGarrette Blount. And I know that they ostensibly play different roles. I said this on the radio the other day when I was in. I don't see more than 50 carries outside of what Johnson and Blount are going to get all season for the Lions without any injuries. So that's a low role. And the thing is who's going to trade for that right now? Most teams still have, you know, if they needed a running back, they hit the running back market. It was a fantastic running back draft. Teams are going to want to see what they got. They wanted to see what they got in their sixth or seventh rounder because there was a lot of really talented guys down there. Mm-hmm. So right now, it's not there. You got to wait for injuries or for, I don't know, I hate to say this, but somebody to get arrested or busted for PEDs or something like that. Right. And you take advantage of their misfortune. That's probably the only way that they're going to get anything out of him.
Yeah. Yep. No, I think that's right. What do you think about Riddick as far as trade bait? Do you think you can get more out of him than you can out of
Azul? I do, because I think he has a clearly defined role for a team as a third down back slash receiver type thing. I think he is fourth or fifth in the NFL over the last 2 years in running back receptions. Mm-hmm. And that includes with him being hurt some of that time too. And I don't think the Lions have any interest in getting rid of him because I think he plays that role better than anybody else on the team does. And they love that role. Go back. It was not this season. It was the season before when he was in and when he was out in the disparity in the red zone success. He's that valuable in the red zone. And I think that's something that, that the Lions value very much.
Yep, absolutely. All right, so he's amazing, which is another way you could be spelled it with Amazon. And
oh, I see what you did there, crafty devil.
Don't forget about Amazon and all the shopping you do there. You got to stop off at Detroit Lions Podcast first. Use that shop link at the top or one of the Amazon ads on the site and use that to get to Amazon. There's no funny stuff, no pop-ups, no crazy clicky crazy stuff. It just throws a little code when you go there and lets them know that Chris, Case, and the Riz sent you. And they give us a little kickback on anything you buy. You don't pay anything more. It doesn't cost you anything except an extra click along the way. But it helps us out. They give us a kickback and help support the show. So help support the show. You're going to do it anyway. You're doing your shopping at Amazon. Who doesn't? I love the place. I wish they'd give me a kickback on my purchases because, I don't know, I'd just get a discount. But anyway, help us out. DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Use that shop link up at the top and go to Amazon and do your shopping that way instead of going straight to the Amazon site. You help us out, and we love you when you do that. All right, thinking of loving people and the stars of Amazon that we have that come to the podcast site to go there, there's a question from Blake Barry, and he wants to know if Jared Davis is going to be a star this year. And this is a good question. A star is a pretty big word.
That's a big superlative right? Yeah. For him.
What do you think, Chris?
I think he's going to be more consistently better in year two, but I don't think that this defense is predicated on anybody being a quote unquote star. I think it's one of those where you are the greater than the sum of your parts. And that tends to be what a Patricia defense looked like in New England anyways. Mm-hmm. And what Belichick defenses were typically before he joined him there. That's also, it's not anymore, but that was a Romeo Crennel defensive staple too. And he comes from that tree as well. Mm-hmm. So I don't think star, but I think he can be, I would say last year at his best, he was an average starter and he wasn't that all year. And I think we're going to see that be his floor this year. I think he will be an average starter at worst in his second year, because I think he understands now what the NFL game differences are from the college game, why he wasn't great as a rookie. And I think he's worked on that. And I think also, I think seeing more four linebacker looks and more three safety looks, I think is only going to help him, because that takes away from what he did not do well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And the other thing about Jared Davis that I really, really like is his work ethic, his film ethic, his desire to get better. He is like the anti Eric Ebron, right?
Yes, that's a good way to say it.
he is very internal looking and continually asks and wonders, how can I do better? And then he works and studies film and addresses those issues with an open mind and an open heart and says, these are the things I need to do to improve. And that's how a person gets better at anything they do, by honestly assessing themselves and their performance and moving from there. So that's the thing I think that's going to propel him. It's gotten him to where he is today, and it's going to propel him even further in his career. And I think you're right. I think an average LB role is his floor for this year, and he may shine like a star a couple times throughout the year. I think you're going to see that. I think Jared Davis's third year is going to be where you really see what Jared Davis can become in the NFL.
It would be nice if he could force some more big plays this year.
Yes.
And I think he can.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. All right, so let's talk about this. This is from Daniel Hall. He's asking, tell us about five trades you could see, ranging from most likely to least likely, but that you'd still like to see. I mean, let's just talk about some trades, because I'm trying to rank them and put them all together.
I have to research that. We talked about Abdullah and the likelihood or lack thereof that he would be traded. I'm trying to think who else would be moved.
I'm going to ask you that, Ricky. Rick Wagner.
Rick Wagner. See, I don't think they're going to do it unless Tyrell Crosby is just a monster. Right. I don't think that's going to happen this year. I think I don't see a whole lot of trade activity right now. I mean,
anywhere in the NFL.
Yeah, it's sort of an odd time for that. I'm trying to think who Joe Dahl could get dealt away if you know, somebody needs a conditional seventh round pick. Insurance for their interior offensive line, and they like him a little bit more than the Lions do, which could very well be. I'm trying to think of who they drafted and who that would supplant. The thing is that the Lions are in, they're sort of in buy mode. They're not in sell mode. So they're not really a team that would want to get rid of depth that might be useful. And if they're not useful for Detroit, they're not going to be useful for the other team to want them either.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
No, 100%. I agree. It's really that running back position, I think, that has the most kind of fluidity to it. And I think your earlier answer was right. And when another team realizes how bad they have a need, they'll come buying and knocking. And that's where their chance will be.
You do see a lot of trades after the third preseason game.
Yep.
And I think that might be the next time that we see the Lions do one.
Next window.
I'll say this, though. Sam Martin. Keep an eye on Sam Martin.
Yeah, good point. Casey Redfern's back. I know
he's not awesome the only one playing. We're so happy to have Casey Redfern healthy.
He's
good dude. Great dude.
Really good at what he does, and he's a really good dude. He's an under the radar kind of cat too right now. I just don't write him off. I'm just saying, don't count him out. He's got the heart of us.
We are rooting for him, whether he's in Detroit or elsewhere.
Yep, for sure. All right. So, you know, we talk about this, a lot of talk, of course, with the team, the way it played last year and all the work we did this year, a lot of talk about the offensive line, a lot of talk about the running game. This is a good question, and I have some thoughts on it, but I'll let you, as always, I'll let you go first because you are the man of the hour, Riz. Ragnar, center or guard, and pluses and minuses of each option. This came twice, one from Greg Warren and one from Nick Couples. And I'm interested in what your thoughts are here, Riz.
So the preface to this is that last week in OTAs, I think it was last week, Ragnow was working exclusively at guard, and Glasgow was exclusively the center on the first team offense. And if you look at the history of the Lions and how they've done things, and also of the Patriot way, the guy who's starting the first week of OTAs is your starter.
Yep.
They don't monkey with that. So I think we're going to see.
Remember Taylor Ragnow. Decker?
Yeah. Left yeah. Taylor Decker tackle, was right? Absolutely.
I've forgotten. He's off at the.
Manny Ramirez was like that.
Yeah.
Back in the day, the refrigerator box with arms. trying to think of who some of those other guys were. First rounder, 2008. Gazzar Cherilis.
Yes.
Was that way.
Yeah. So I think it's exactly the point that I was going to make on this. I see Ragnow because of where they started him. They did the same thing with Decker, and they put why can't I remember his name? Riley Reiff. They threw him to the right side.
Yeah, remember that was like a big thing. Like, oh my God, Decker's playing left tackle. They're moving Riley Reiff,
and all the time was no.
I think I was actually on the other side of that argument because I'm like, hey, Riley Reiff's an okay left tackle.
Yeah. and it was like, no, we're just trying him out. But then he stayed, and then he stayed, and then he stayed. And so that's kind of where I think things are right now. But I tell you, my head is exactly the opposite. I think that Ragnar's your center. Because he snaps the ball normal. And Glasgow's got that funny snap.
He does have that. But somebody told me on Twitter that there's less chance for error in the way that Glasgow does it because there's fewer moving parts. And
interesting.
So I guess probably like kinesiology wise, if that's a word, that's probably true, but it's so awkward that I don't know. My take on this is that I like to put players at where they play best. And Frank Ragnow is best at center, based on what he did at Arkansas. He played at both right guard and center at Arkansas, and he was a freaking monster at center. And I think he can be a Pro Bowl center very quickly in the NFL. At guard, I'm going to say ceiling is not as high. And the trade-off for that is Glasgow better at guard or center? I thought that Glasgow was a little bit better at center, even with the wonky snapping. I don't think he's necessarily a guard. So I can see why that is their rationale. Mm-hmm. But if I have a Pro Bowl caliber center, but he's only going to be a top 10 to 15 guard, I'm playing him at center. Yeah. And I'll worry about, I'll find somebody else that can play guard. If Glasgow can't do it, I'll find somebody else that can. That's how I would run it.
Yep.
But I don't think that's what's going to happen.
I'm all about the economics view on it, the comparative advantage. You use it in trade, and focus on what you're the very, very best at. And that's what I think they should be doing here, and whose comparative advantage is where. And I think that puts Ragnow at center, and I think that puts Glasgow at guard. But you know what? I'm not there every day with these guys, so we'll see. Right. We'll see what happens. But
I don't think either one of us is like down on Graham Glasgow. No, it's just that we both think that Frank Ragnow is better.
I'll tell you, Graham Glasgow, from where he was drafted when we picked him up, has been a very pleasant surprise for me. I'm really, really happy with how he's developed and how well he's played. So absolutely good point. I am not down on Glasgow at all.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go on. Let's talk about some more about the offense. And this is, again, related to that. Straight out of the offensive line and the running game. Question about how much pressure does Cooter have? I love how that's phrased. Besides the lackadaisical running game, his play calling has been very predictable, and that won't change all of a sudden. This is from Patricia's pencil. I disagree that it won't change, but go ahead, Riz. You'll get to weigh in first.
To answer the first part of the question, how much pressure does he have? I think if he's not producing at the bye week, I think he's gone. Mm-hmm. I think that's a very logical time to dump him. That's how he got the job initially. Remember, Lombardi sucked. And there are salient points. And I don't think the running game. Some of that is on the offensive line, and some of that's on Ron Prince, and we've danced enough on his grave that I don't want to do that anymore much. But some of it is the play schematic design. You do not give the ball to a static running back in the NFL these days anymore. That's a terrible concept, and he is freaking married to it. And that bugs me a lot. I don't think there's a whole lot of I'll go back to the expansion Cleveland Browns of 1999, and I happened to live next door to Ty Detmer at the time. Name drop.
Yeah.
Ty was my neighbor. Good guy. God, he's beautiful. And his kids, oh my God, and his wife, they're like straight out of like Mormon recruiting pamphlets. I mean, just beautiful people.
You guys just think about the neighborhoods that Riz lives in. Just get a sense of that. Okay, go ahead, Riz.
Yeah. Jim Tomey lived across the street.
Oh my God. How many? Yeah. I mean, how is your gate like 50 feet tall to get in? You have an arm.
We actually did live in a gated community.
I know.
Fancy enough. Yeah. back when I made real money before I became a sports reporter. But Ty came home and Tony Jones, who was their left tackle, was over. And we're just sitting out, and we had a shared backyard area. We lived in townhouses. And they're looking at each other, and you know, they knew that I knew football at the time, but I wasn't a football reporter at the time. Mm-hmm. And so they're just talking, and Tony's like, I can't believe all these 7-step drops that we're asked to do, you know, and how long. And Ty's like, if we have to run this offense, I'm going to die. That's an exact quote from him, because their rookie coach was Chris Palmer. He's designing all these like intricate downfield plays that take forever to materialize. Mm-hmm. And like they know their teammates. That, you know, Tony Jones was a pretty confident dude, but he's like, I can't do that. I'm not stopping Bruce Smith from killing him for that long, you know? And I think there's a lot of that impracticality and sort of, you know, blindness to the reality of the defense. And I think Cooter suffers from that a lot. I don't think he respects opposing defenses enough with his play design. And that has to change. Otherwise, he's not going to be here for even half the year.
I'm going to agree with you from a data perspective. All the data that supports that we have supports exactly what you said, right? There's no other way to put it. And
analytics, baby.
Yeah. Now, there's the other side of that. And it's the, what do they call him? Someone said to call him like Sheriff Caldwell or Mayor Caldwell or Governor Caldwell.
Yes, governor. Yeah, it was governor. Yes, I saw the answer too.
Yes, the fun governor in Caldwell too, right? And you look at what you got out of Cooter and you look at what you got out of Lombardi, and they're very, very similar. Now, they come from different backgrounds. They played together there for a
little
bit.
They do. That's right.
And you look at, okay, so at the end of the, you know, when he took over the bye week, Cooter had Lombardi's playbook to deal with. But then he had the whole offseason to come up with his own and came out and looked just like Lombardi. And the tie here is, and this, there's a little bit of data in this, you look at what's happened wherever Caldwell's been prior, there's been no run game despite
they do not run the ball
quality of the running backs that have been there. And you just have to wonder, again, if you look strictly at the data, I don't think you're wrong, but I think there's a mitigating factor here, and that's the Governor Caldwell effect. And that's where I think Cooter gets a whole season to run his offense, or at least his offense with the influence of the pencil man. And we'll see what happens with that. The other question, and I want to ask you this, is if they do replace him at the bye week, who do you replace him with?
That's a good question.
That's
Kellen
why
Moore just got hired, which is frustrating.
That's why I think he gets the year. I think he gets the whole
year. You know, that's probably a fair point that I hadn't, you know, because that is something that I know Quinn would take into consideration. Not all front offices will take that into consideration. Some are just like, I don't care who we're replacing you. You got to get the hell out.
you got to put the business to the side of the emotional.
that's not what this regime is going to be like. So you're probably onto something there. Like, they don't really have that anymore because they brought in a new defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
I was going to say, like, you always had a guy like if they wanted to get rid of Terrell Austin, Chris Kocurek was right there, and he's going to be defensive coordinator in the league before long.
Yep.
So that I don't necessarily see that sort of guy on this roster.
They don't have the depth
on the coaching staff.
Yeah, for sure. Well, you know, with those changes, you talk about changes, sometimes your jerseys get old and you need a new one. And how do you do that, Riz?
Dude, you go to Fanatics, but first you go to Detroit Lions Podcast, and then you click on Fanatics, and that's where you get your J.R. Smith jersey.
That's right. God, Riz is so good at this. That's it. You know, these things change. You want to get your new jerseys. You know, you didn't get your,
I still have to get a Michael Roberts jersey, and I know that they have it in the Silver Rush,
yeah,
which I love. I love the silver jerseys. I wish they were actually a little more silver, but.
Yeah, no, I do so, too. Go back to, I'm going to share my screen with you. Look at this. I've got my thing going here at Fanatics. Literally, not even joking. Let me go to my shopping cart. I'm going to scroll and show because I'm looking.
God, they got so many Lions hats. Yeah. Holy crap. Yeah. There's like three pages of them.
I got like five things in the cart right now, and I'm not even done. I've got my Lions hat, and I'm going to get a. Like
so
a
those draft hats are awful.
Yeah, yeah. But, I'm down here looking at the NFL hats right now.
Oh, yeah, those are sweet. Yeah. I like that one.
So head on over to DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Click on the shop link and select Fanatics. There's also an ad on there. Click Fanatics. Get yourself some cool hats, jerseys, anything. You can get the toaster. You know the one. The one that you carry in the bathtub on that sad Sunday.
Father's Day is coming up, man. I want the waffle iron that puts the Lion logo on it.
Yeah.
I want that.
That's for Rizzle. that's for sure. All that stuff available at Fanatics. Head on over to DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Click on the Fanatics link and get your stuff. Great way to support the show. Again, it doesn't cost you. It's just like, you know, it's one of the things we're only putting sponsors in here that we truly believe in and stuff that we use. And like I was just showing Riz, I go there to get my stuff, my Lions stuff, and I got a whole stack of stuff I'm getting.
He had a full cart too.
Yeah, bunch of things in there. I'm getting ready for the season, right? So you head there too. Help us out. Get a kick back to the show and get your Lions gear. Rep your team the way you want to. All right, we're going to move on to the jersey that I thought you were going to get. And this is a question from Greg Martin. He says, I thought that Reeves Maybin showed some potential last year, but I've been hearing that Patricia prefers bigger linebackers. How do you think they'll try to use him, or will they ultimately just consider him not to be a fit and trade him away?
You know, we could have put him in the answer for the vet that's put in the spot, but I don't necessarily consider him a vet yet because it's just his second year. He's got to show that he has the role in the defense. This is a big preseason and training camp for him to prove that he can fit in it.
Do we have enough depth that he's
I don't know about that.
Or is this a year for him?
It's a very good question by Greg, who asks a lot of good questions. I enjoy interacting with him on Twitter quite a bit. He's a good dude. Always asks smart questions. And when he doesn't agree with the answer, he doesn't, you know, tell me to go
do that Twitter thing
myself. Yeah, which is kind of cool because not everybody does that. Right. I appreciate that. So I honestly think he's fighting for sort of the same role as Killebrew is, as that cover linebacker safety type guy. And if Reeves Maven is still 230-ish pounds,
it's gonna be a hard one to win.
He will either that or he'll have to be a demon on special teams. And special teams are changing, and they're actually making it so big people might actually have a little bit more, I don't know, a cachet there with the rule changes on the kickoffs. So that sort of takes away an opportunity for him there to shine. It's a tough one. I do think he will make the team. I don't think he's going to get left in the dust, but I can see him being an inactive for game days unless he really shows out this summer. He's on the spot for sure.
Yeah, for sure. I think he can do it. He's a powerful, powerful young man. It's just
I like him coming out of Tennessee quite a bit, and I wish he wouldn't have gotten hurt. And I loved when we drafted him because that was a guy who was a second round pick until they got hurt.
Yeah,
and we got him fourth round.
Fourth
round.
Yep.
That's how you win. But ultimately, he's shown thus far. There was one game last year where he was really good, and the rest of the time he was just sort of occupying space and. Sort of true of Jared Davis too. again, second from first year to second year, there needs to be a leap, and both of those guys need to make it.
Yeah. Well, when you got Akeem Spence covering the X wideout, I might be exaggerating, but I mean that's what it felt like so many times on those touchdowns that they get in the short yardage play. Felt like he had a tackle covered in the YX receiver, right? I mean, it's like, what the hell are we thinking? Austin, what's up?
It cuts down the angle. He's bigger.
Oh, God. Okay, I'm not going to relive that one. I'm going to move on.
Yeah, please do.
Breathe.
Deep breath.
This one from Tyler Robb. I swear I know Tyler from somewhere. That name sticks in my head, and I don't know why, but what's up, Tyler? Here's one. I'd like to hear your opinions on the top five best Lions players of the past decade. See what lists you can come up with. Tell you what, why don't we put this one aside? Let's keep this one because I think
table that. Well, that's a good one for next week when we have Case with us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Gives me time to think about it too, but I know who one and two are.
Go ahead. Why don't you do that? Let's slip.
Calvin and Stafford are one and two.
No way.
And I'm putting Glover Quinn in there somewhere too. But
no way.
I gotta think more about it.
Okay. All right. Good question, Tyler.
I gotta go back to that goes back to the 2008 season, right?
Yeah.
Oh, dark time.
it's a great time to kind of pick up and run from, right? Yeah, from the depths of hell to the cusp of greatness.
God, it has been. It's been 10 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know, right? There's people that know nothing about the Lions.
That's crazy.
And they're listening to the show. They know nothing about the Lions in like experience, other than in those interceding.
We've been somewhere a little bit north of mediocre for most of the time since then.
Yeah, it's easier to be a Lions fan now.
It really is.
All right, we'll move on to the next one then. Any impact free agents that we're likely to sign, or is that pretty much over with? Also, the likelihood of Ziggy and Tate extensions this offseason, and how much contract length, in your humble opinion, can we afford to keep both? That's from Dave Griffiths.
Wow. There aren't any impact free agents available anywhere right now. Well, there's
the one guy you think we're going to sign.
Oh, shut your mouth. Shut your filthy mouth.
So no Hankins? Is that where you're at?
Yes, correct.
Huh, I wouldn't have got that from you. So anyone else might sign?
Trigger!
There's a lot of people talking about Hankins still, but you made a good point. You were asked about it separately on the Twitter today, and nobody wants him, and it says something.
Just remember that two teams that are freaking desperate for pass-rushing defensive tackles have cut him. Not let him just go. They've cut him, told him, get the hell out of here. In the last 3 years, that says something. I don't know why. I genuinely don't. But there is something there that he is doing or not doing that pisses teams who really need his services off. And I don't think that. Well, I know that Quinn is not in the business of trying to give those guys shots at redemption.
Yeah. I learned long ago, it's fine to fuck with your boss, but don't piss him off more than your level of value you provide.
That's right.
All right. So let's talk about Ziggy and Tate.
Ziggy and Tate. I think Ziggy is another guy who is sort of, to go back on, put on notice and on the spot. He's playing for his next contract. And I do think that the way that the Lions have drafted and approached the offseason, that they are planning on him being here long term. Do you agree with that?
I think they want him here long term, but I think this year will dictate. I don't think they sign him. They've got time since they've got him on the tag.
Right.
I don't think they're going to rush to sign him. I think they're going to see how he does, and they're willing to gamble because, look, the tag money is probably more than he's going to get paid anyway at his age, even if he performs super, super well. I think they're willing to gamble with it and let him perform really well this year and then sign him for some money. I don't think they want to sign him for even mid-range money and have him injured and unable to deliver.
Yeah, I agree with that. So I think if he is going to sign in Detroit, it's only probably a 3-year deal where it's really 2 years and the third year is sort of, you know, in there for paperwork and
like agent posting option.
Yes, exactly. To go off on a tangent a little bit, one of the big revelations to me this year is I've gotten to know more agents and more higher up agents up the agent food chain. And I'm shocked. Well, I shouldn't say shocked. I am surprised at how willing they are to admit that most of what is done in contracts is superfluous fluff to make themselves feel and look better.
Really?
There's a whole lot of that that goes on.
Well, no, I know that it's there, but they're they admit it. That's the thing that surprises me.
they just want to do it. It's not it for a lot of those guys. I'm not going to say everybody, because there are some very reputable good agents out there, but there are a lot of, especially the guys who work for big agents but are not the big agents or big agencies. Those guys are under a whole lot of pressure to show up the competition in the agent world, and that comes by getting extra fluff into the contracts. Right. And they know that it's not meaning anything, but they can say, I negotiated X amount of value of dollars as an agent. Even though they're not going to get paid that.
Right.
And, I've also will say that there are a lot of players who have caught onto this phenomenon and are like, no, just give me guaranteed money, dude. And if you can't do it, I'll find somebody else that can. It's something to watch as the next CBA approaches, how much agent influence there is on what the players do. Because one of the reasons, this is going way off topic, one of the reasons why the NFLPA has caved on every single issue other than money in the past is because the agents are like, you got to get all your money now. If you give up a dime, they're going to take a dollar. And that has been the prime agent status, and that has changed some. And there's a lot of players who are like, I'm sick of giving away my pro football life, and or I'm sick of Roger Goodell getting all this power, and we gave everything to him so we could save an extra, you know, quarter of a percent of our salary. Right. And that's exactly what they've done in every single thing. When push comes to shove, the players will give every single thing away to save one freaking penny.
Yeah.
And they're I don't want to say that it won't happen again, but there are a lot more players who are savvy to the machinations that's in process there, And I don't think it will happen again. And I think that's going to change the way that a lot of agents approach their business.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. And you said you went off topic, but it definitely rose in my head. You know, the CBA, it expires after the 2020 season, right?
Yes.
So it's coming up and there's talk about it. One of the things I think, and this is probably the topic we can take into maybe the next show too. If I think about it, will we be playing more games and fewer preseason games? I can see the league pushing for more games, and they talk about, you know, money and the owners wanting to hold on to money as much as they can. That's something else that the owners can get, because they can make money from the fans that way. You know what I mean? And it's okay to pay the players a little more, because the net result is they're going to get more in their pockets, right?
Right. You're selling then, it would be 18 games. You're selling 9 home games, and you're selling 2 extra weeks of your NFL season to potential network buyers.
Right.
And that's huge.
Yep. Yep. So maybe that's something we can cover. That's one of the things that's coming up. But it takes us a lot out of the land of Ziggy.
It did. Yeah. Sorry about that.
No. It's good stuff. It's good stuff. So what about Tate? What's your thinking on him? This one's hard, because my heart and my head say two different things.
I think Golden Tate wants to be a free agent.
I do too.
And I don't think that he has any interest in limiting what his options are now.
Right.
And he's at the age where he knows that it's his last big payday, and he is not going to take a hometown discount. And he does love Detroit. I guarantee you, if all things are equal, he's staying in Detroit, but all things might not be equal. No. He's going to get, so a lot of people pointed to the Jarvis Landry deal. That's a different situation, because he was on a franchise tag and he went to a team that absolutely had to spend a lot of money to get to the floor. The Cleveland Browns, money is still no object to them after they've signed all these people to all these outrageous contracts. They still have like $42 million in cap room. It's unbelievable.
What a position to be in.
Yeah. So they can pay a guy in Jarvis Landry who's not as good as Golden Tate. The nuts and bolts of his contract is 2 years and $29 million. I think Golden Tate will get, again, it'll look like 4 years and $45 million, but it's really 2 years, 27.5 is my rough guess on it. And I don't think the Detroit Lions are paying him that at his age.
Nope.
As much as they like him and as much as they need him.
Yep. I just want to relate to your Browns comparison quickly. You think about it this way, right? They've got all that cap space. The Lions went 0-16 and were in cap trouble.
Yes, they were.
Talked about it, your difference between Mayhew and Millen and the current Browns regime. At least they got money to spend to fix what's going on there. So anyway, back to Tate. I think you're exactly right. And Tate recently said, and it was after we talked about this last time, that he wants to stay in Detroit. And da 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 da. Absolutely, he's saying that.
We both believe that he means that.
Yeah. No, I believe it.
That's not just a negotiating ploy on his part.
No, I don't think it's a negotiating ploy with the team. I think it's a negotiating ploy with the fans, because he doesn't want to get booed off the field 8 games this year. He doesn't want the crowd to turn against him, because he's saying, fuck this, I want the money. And the first way, you know, any other answer other than I want to stay in Detroit is the great way to turn the crowd against you. And nobody wants that. Nobody needs that. So he did the smart move with that answer. Dude, I mean, sometimes people say things because it's the right thing to say at the time, not because they mean it. And that's where I think a lot of fans sometimes get tripped up, because they believe some of that stuff. But that's what they have to say.
That's a very salient point by you, and I hate that. I hate when people do that shit. Yep, I really do. I can't stand that. I hate that sort of momentary deceptiveness, because I try to take people at their word, and when they're being, you know, false like that, I hate that. I hate that, people.
Yeah, we're just talking about
that. Be honest. Be nice to people.
That's one of the reasons we like Eric
Schlitz. Don't tell people what they want to hear. Tell people what the truth is.
Yeah, absolutely. So anyway, with that being the case, right? Okay, so we'll take that off the table, because I don't think that was. I don't want to say it wasn't sincere, right? Because I think he does want to stay in Detroit, but it was also what he had to say at that time. It does come straight down to the money, and I'll say it again. He walked away from a winning team in Seattle to come to the Lions, right? And it was strictly for the money. And I don't think it's about wins. I don't think it's about the quality of the city.
There was a little bit of an altercation in the locker room there, too.
That might have been true. But That aside, I just don't see a situation where he sees a big bag of gold sitting in front of him that he doesn't take it and go. So he has to want the right price. I don't know that he will. I think that if Mayhew's here, we sign Tate, we sign Ziggy, we mortgage the future, we mortgage everything, and that's that. I just don't see it happening here. I think Ziggy, you know, this is a point. If Ziggy doesn't pan out, that may well give us the bank to pay Tate, right? That's actually one of the things to think about there.
Yes, and I don't think they can keep both financially. I don't think it makes sense to keep them both financially, other than making some other cuts. And that would be like the optimal thing would be Jalen Reeves-Maybin hits. Mm-hmm. Tyrell Crosby hits and makes Rick Wagner expendable, so you can get rid of his massive salary off the books.
Right.
Those sorts of things. Those are all interrelated.
Yeah. And you have to ask yourself, at Tate's age, you're right, it's his last contract. He's going to be probably getting his biggest contract yet. Is he going to have it in the tank to earn that? Is the production going to equal the production of his last contract for more money? And the likelihood of that is probably not.
Probably not. No.
The game he plays, the way, you know, the shiftiness, the speed, that's something that goes pretty quick in your years. So it's a tough call on Tate. Love the guy to death. Would love to see him in Detroit and stay. I just don't think it's going to pan out that way.
Yeah. Right. We're of like mind there.
Yep. All right. Well, you know, one of the things you got to do is go to the game to find out. You can see it on TV, but it's never as fun as being there in the seat yourself. And oh, those are good times. I know I'm going to, let's see, we got training camp this year, Riz.
And, yes, we do.
We got the training camp party that we're going to do. So stay tuned for that. This is
in the process of being scheduled as we speak.
Yes. And we're going to be doing our live broadcast from there. You guys can come down. We're going to do a live podcast and party on either side of the podcast. So it's going to be a lot of fun. There was an unofficial.
No whiskey this year. No whiskey.
We'll see. At the unofficial post party last year, we got Riz.
I like tequila. No
whiskey. And broke Riz a little bit, but so we got that coming up at training camp. I'll be at the the third preseason game in Tampa. That'll be great to see the team lines on the field again, the important one, luckily, so that'll be good. And then I'm absolutely going to be at the Turkey Day game this year, and I'm going to see if I can swing one or two other games. We'll see how that plays out, but you know how I'm getting my seats, Riz?
I have a guess. I bet you're going to Detroit Lions podcast and clicking on the SeatGeek link.
You got it. You got it, my friend. In that link. Because why? Because there's no way to get your seats unless you pick them yourselves. Who wants someone else picking their seat? I mean, there's probably some kind of fetish in there, but you know, SeatGeek is the place to go. You get your tickets, but you have to stop at Detroit Lions podcast on the way there. Same story as with the other guys. They give us a little kickback when you buy stuff, and it's a great way to go. You can't buy tickets from the box office anymore, and no matter what you want to see, they're just not there. It's always a secondary market. Those days are gone, kids, and or gramps, I guess I got to say, because kids aren't used to those days where you have to go line up and actually buy tickets. So,
oh god, do you remember doing that?
Oh yeah, I got 14th row for Rush, and it was like one of my biggest wins ever. Waited there from like 3 a.m. to go get the tickets. Oh man, good time. So anyway, yeah, come to Detroit Lions podcast, click on the shop link, and get your seats there from SeatGeek, that link, or there's a SeatGeek link on the site, and pick your seat. Sit right where you want to be. When we were at the game against Tampa last year, I was in the second row behind the bench. Why? Because I could pick my seat thanks to SeatGeek, and it was awesome. All right. Anyway, DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Click on the shop link, go to SeatGeek, pick up your seats to any kind of show you want to go to. It doesn't matter if it's baseball, football, the theater, you know, music, you name it. I Prevail, you will go to their show, check out SeatGeek, you'll get hooked up. Anyway, good stuff. Thank you for everyone who supported us and gone to SeatGeek to get their tickets. Now, you can buy the whole seat, but you're only going to need... Go ahead, Riz, do it.
The edge!
That's right. So let's talk about the edge of the seat. Tyrell Crosby. This one's from Scott Evans. What position has Tyrell Crosby been practicing at? How does he look? That's from Scott. What do you got? I mean, Tyrell, this is a big player for us, right? This could change things a significant amount.
I will say this. We do not know how well he looks because thus far they have closed all of their practices to the media because of the whole Patricia Gates scandal. So
thanks, guys. Hey, thanks for your responsible reporting. Yeah. You guys are thanks, doing great Detroit work News. Out there. Great, great work. Oh, my God. You know, when someone tells you how important they are and how you can't question them and how they're speaking truth to power and that stuff. That's when you really got to start questioning them and wondering why they have to tell you that you shouldn't question them and why they should tell you that you're honest. I am absolutely appalled at the state of journalism in the country. But it's now that it's like this in sports journalism in Detroit, I talked about it last show. What a redonkulous mess. They've now screwed their clients because why? Those OTAs are closed because why? Because they were poking a scab that was already healed. So stupid. They've actually worked against the value they purport to provide for their people. I was making fun of people for closing Twitter accounts before. You know what? They should all close their Twitter accounts. Shut the fucking paper down. Just shut the whole thing down and go away and find something they're good at, because this was absolutely horrible. And I do want to say there's a couple guys that we still love. Justin Rogers is one of them, by the way. But there's a couple guys.
Justin had nothing to do with that.
Yep.
Nothing to do with
that. And I want to
don't take your crap out on him, folks.
No. I wanted to point him out as he's a straight up guy. There's a couple of diamonds in the rough out there, but even guys that we liked for a long time have taken this bait and pushed this garbage. It's so stupid. It is just okay. Sorry, I don't want to do another one of those things.
So actually today's session, this is Wednesday, right? Today's is open to the media, and I haven't seen any reports on it. I'm not there. I live in Zealand, so I'm on the other side of the state. But he was playing tackle, and specifically left tackle, and was being the second team left tackle. And people have deciphered this from the pictures that were taken, some videos that were shot. I did not hear that he had played any guard, but I have also heard from people who witnessed it that he has worked at guard, but that's on an unofficial capacity. I can't verify that. Mm-hmm. I will say this. I know from talking to somebody who worked out with him in the draft lead up process that he was working very hard on his left foot, which is not the foot that he injured. But it's his outside foot when he's a left tackle. He was, if you watch Oregon film, and even if you watch him in the Senior Bowl, he had a problem with it. In like he couldn't put his foot, refused to put his full weight on it enough when there was an outside rusher, and it threw off his technique. And I know that he's been working on that. And if that works out well for him, he's got all the potential in the world to be great. This was a guy that until he got hurt, and even after he got hurt, a lot of us in the draft community thought was going to go still in the second round. And the Lions got him where they did because there was allegations of concussions, which he has vehemently denied have ever happened. And the lingering foot issue, which could be a thing. He will be the backup tackle this year. That's my guess, is that he is the swing tackle. And, you know, we talked about Wagner. We talked about, you know, can he play guard if TJ Lang, for whatever reason, you know, hits a wall or needs to be moved on. I think he's starting in 2019, but I don't think we're going to see a whole lot of him this year other than as like the third tackle. Remember when Riley Reiff was a rookie and he played that third tackle tight end position?
Yep.
I think Tyrell Crosby is going to do a lot of that this year.
Yeah, no,
and there are a lot of NFL teams now that are doing that. They're getting rid of blocking tight ends to play that guy, to get specifically to get their young tackles who need experience playing time.
Yeah.
The Chargers are doing that right now. That's why they haven't really replaced Antonio Gates.
Yep. And I think that's, the story as you talk about it here, it makes perfect sense. He's really kind of grooming himself for a backup role and not taking over the Rick Wagner position yet, but we'll see. We'll see how that goes. Being able to, you know, being available and being versatile are two key pieces, because if somebody goes down, you step up, that's when you can really elevate your position on the team. You know, and it's hard to come in as a guy like Tyrell Crosby, where he was selected and, you know, just kind of own, you know, fifth rounder, right? Just doesn't come in and own an offensive line position off the, you know, right off the bench. If so, yeah, you're in really, really bad shape. And I know we were in really, really bad shape, but
we were,
but not that bad. Right. So
I'll give you a guy that you should, if you want to compare what his potential fate was, look at what the Eagles did with Hal Vitae. And I think Crosby can do that same sort of thing. Step in when one of the starters gets hurt and you don't see much of a drop off. And I absolutely think that he can do that as a rookie. And I think hopefully we won't have to see it, but if it does, I mean, Vitae was good enough, and Crosby was much better in college at TCU than Oregon than Vitae was at TCU. So
yep.
You got that going for him.
All right, we'll move on to the next one. I think we might have touched on this a little bit, but this is from Isaiah Arnold. Are we expecting any veteran signings? Seems like the defensive line could use some pieces. I don't disagree with the defensive line needing some pieces. Anyone out there you can think of, Riz, that we might sign?
The one name that's still out there is Connor Barwin. And he doesn't play defensive line. He's an edge. But he has a lot of experience in this type of defense. And he's still out there. He's still in good shape. I saw a picture of him the other day without a shirt on his Instagram. He's a good social media follow, by the way. Mm-hmm. He's a little bit, he's on the happy side of crazy. That's a good thing. And he's still an effective player.
That's where I am.
Yeah, exactly. I got to know him a little bit when he was in Houston. He's a really good, fun guy. I think he'd be a good fit. I think that he's sort of waiting it out now. I don't think you're going to see a lot of anything that would be an impact. I mean, they're going to churn the bottom of the roster. The spots 89 and 90 will probably change two or three more times before training camp starts. That's mm-hmm. just what things are. As far as anybody that has a chance to stick, I don't think we're going to see that until late July, early August.
Rumor is that a guy named Jonathan Hankins is available. Any chance that we might...
You shut your filthy mouth!
All right, I'll move on. The last question in the mailbag is from Scott Barlow. Davidson, new blocking schemes for run game. This is a guy who knows... He grew up with Twitter at 140, right?
No kidding. I Scott has interacted with me quite a bit. He's a good dude, too. Mm-hmm. I enjoy that. Yep. Another guy who asks good questions, and then if he doesn't like the answer, we'll accept it and be like, oh, damn it. So thanks, Scott.
Let's talk about Jeff Davidson. What do we get from him? What is he bringing us? And
the Broncos. I think what we're going to see is more go out and beat their ass. You know, the sort of whole the way Chris Kocurek was on defense. You know, if you went to camp or you went to the senior bowl, you're like, you got to beat his ass. I mean, that was Chris Kocurek's. That was his instructions before every play. Go out there and beat his ass. That's kind of the way that Davidson is, from what I gather. I've never actually seen him in a practice yet, so I can't speak to that.
That's how I coach my son in soccer. What? They're not calling it. Go beat his ass.
Soccer too. It's great.
Oh God. So I from what I've gathered from people who know what Davidson is all about, he's very into playing as the concept of the five guys up front as a shield rather than five individuals blocking whoever's coming at them. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's sort of like, the way it was explained to me was that they're shooting arrows at you, and that the bigger your shield is, it's harder for it to get through. Mm-hmm. With one of the things that I've heard is that he's very cognizant of the spacing between players and how defenses try to disrupt the spacing of it. And if you remember Jim Schwartz's defense, he was a master at doing that. To Schwartz's never ending credit, that's what he was best at. The asynchronous rush and things like that. He's brilliant at it. That's been a big problem for the Lions. It was when defenses would manipulate the blocking such that the spacing was off and they could get guys through gaps and things like that. I don't think that's going to be as big of a problem under Davidson, but we'll see on it. It's now for the run game, which I guess is what Scott asked about. Sorry, Scott. It's much more of get a hat on a guy right away and freaking move them. Don't wait for them to act and then try to do it. And that's where Tyrell Crosby thrives as a run blocker. That's why I think he's got a bright future. That's where Ragnow dominated at Arkansas. Let me go out and beat the crap out of this guy. And if it's not the guy in front of me, I'm going to go out and flatten the middle linebacker and you know, teabag him while I'm standing over him. And that's kind of football that we want to see.
That's good football right there.
God, Larry Warford would have loved this. It's a shame that they employed Ron Prince so long that he felt like he had to leave town.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I would love to see him just drag it across some Packer chins, but oh well. Anyway, that's
that would be nice.
That's the mailbag, biggest mailbag you'll see in any podcast right here in Detroit Lions podcast. One last topic for the show this week. This is the DLP-PWTP. Huge. I mean, this is, everyone knows what that means, right, Riz? I mean, that's like tip of the tongue.
I just see DP and I think of bad things.
There's no DP. DLP-PWTP. It's the Detroit Lions
podcast. That's not the GRP thing that like all the European people are suffering with.
The GDPR. No, you don't have to
worry. Thank you. That's what it is. Yes,
you can keep your privates where they are. This is Detroit Lions podcast. Play with the Detroit Lions podcast. Here you go. Every Thursday. On Xbox at 8:30, you can look for gamertag DET Lions podcast, and you will find me on the backside of my Xbox looking for friends. We'll play whatever you want. I mean, I have a preference for COD. Fortnite is huge right now. I haven't really played it yet. I've got it, thanks to my son's incredible game buying habit and game sharing that Xbox has. I've probably got just about every game out there. So whatever you guys want to play, just hook me up. Let's get into a party and let's find some stuff and have some fun and do some play with the podcast stuff. And we'll go at it. We'll do it. I try to stay away from Madden. It's really disappointed me the last couple of years. It's nothing different. It's just different players in the same shell, and I'm getting bored with it. So, till they revamp Madden, I probably don't.
Yeah, you know what? So I am not a gamer, but I used to be. So the last Madden that I had played was the one with Peyton Hillis on the cover. Mm-hmm. And my son last weekend was like, "Dad, can we play a game of Madden?" I'm like, "Okay." So I played that on a Wii. That's how old it was. And the Wii was new.
Right.
We now have an Xbox One. And my son was like, "Okay, let's play this." And I was shocked at how easy it was for me to, like, the only way that he beat me was because I didn't know the controller. I had never held an Xbox game controller in my life. Ooh. But the fundamentals of the game and how you win it were the same as they were in 2011, as in 2001, as in 1991, back when I was playing it on the old Sega Genesis. Not a lot of that has changed. And I'm not somebody who gets all caught up in the bells and whistles of, you know, ooh, like they had the
my doll.
I don't care. I don't care about the alternative uniforms. Yeah. Let me play freaking football. Yep. That's what I'm here for.
Yep, exactly. Exactly. So check it out. DET Lions podcast, just like our Twitter handle. It's our Xbox gamer tag. You can join us and we'll do some gaming every Thursday, 8:30. Play with the podcast. We'll have a lot of fun. And we get a couple of these on our belt. We'll start streaming them, put them out there live. We can have some fun and let other people watch who can't play.
Can you watch that on, is that Twitch?
I was thinking of just throwing it up on our YouTube though. Twitch is okay, but Twitch has got it's a little wonky.
Isn't there a thing about like people that do Twitch have some I want to say child pornography issues?
There's some things going on at Twitch. There's things everywhere, Riz. It's a crazy world we live in.
It's hard to be a parent these days.
All right. Well, we hope you guys liked the mailbag today. Don't forget about Play with the Lions or Play with the Podcast. It's going to be a lot of fun Thursday, 8:30. And that's going to wrap it up for this week's show. Remember, we're looking for your involvement. Use the comments in the subreddit to give us feedback. Let us know what you think of the show. And, we might bend and make it better just based on your feedback. Don't forget about us on Patreon, patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast, patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. Join the Patreon crew. A little as a dollar donation a month helps the podcast. We love every single ounce that you folks share with us, and we appreciate all that do. Also, don't forget to check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast, and on the Twittermaker at DETLionsPodcast. DET Lions Podcast, the very best place to see the Riz.
Pants free, baby.
Woo!
Yeah.
And as we just talked about, Play with the Podcast, DET Lions Podcast there as well on Xbox. And the best way to see that is going to be by subscribing to us on YouTube, youtube.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. Don't forget to give us a call via Skype, Detroit Lions Podcast, all one word, Detroit Lions Podcast, or give us a ring on the Lions line, 929-33-LIONS, 929-335-4667. And lastly, go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Subscribe to the podcast. That way we can come into your little box automatically. That's the way they all love it. Thank you for tuning in, and we're going to see you next time on the Detroit Lions Podcast. It's your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection.
Final seconds winding down, and look at that. How big is that? Chris and Case out of time. Pack the bags, start the plane. This show is over.
Hey, Dean Blandino here, and I can tell you unequivocally that call was 100% wrong.
Don't mind me, I'm twerking.